Welcome to Red Sox Digest, the only show where pain, sarcasm, and a dash of hope collide nightly like a Trevor Story strikeout. We cover every loss, every meltdown, and yes, even the rare win with brutally honest takes and zero front office fluff. Subscribe today at RedSoxDigest.com or risk being left out in the cold like a home game in April. And now, here's the crew at Red Sox Digest.
Good evening, Red Sox fans, and welcome to another edition of Red Sox Digest. Today is July 7, 2025, and your Boston Red Sox are now 47-45 with their win tonight over the Colorado Rockies. My name is Jim Delfino, and I am your host for this evening. I am joined tonight by Nick Face and Nick Diamond. The final score of tonight's game was the Red Sox 9, the Rockies 3 at Fenway Park. Boston took care of business in this rout, and the Rockies fell to 21-70. Gentlemen, welcome in, and I'll have you give your reactions to the game. Nick Face, you first, please.
We're so lucky. We're so lucky that we're facing the cream of the crop of Major League Baseball right now.
You mean the cream of the crap?
The cream of the crop. I like that. As a matter of fact, those Colorado Rockies, boy, do we catch some breaks, guys, between the Nationals and finding the Colorado. I feel bad for the Rockies. I do. I feel bad. I mean, they're nothing but a bunch of dollar store clearance specials. That's what they are. You know, it's sad that they even fired their manager, Bud Black, earlier in the season, blaming him. I feel bad for that man, to tell you the truth. That's not his fault. That's your ownership right there. But overall, we got to win. Dick Fitz had to gut that one out. I got to say that with a straight face. That's not very easy to do. But he gutted that one out. I was not too pleased that he couldn't even go sixth full against the Rockies. But hey, he got through it. And then we turned over to the bullpen, and it got a little interesting to my liking. I'm sure we'll talk about our lovely play at third base tonight by Mr. Eaton. That was fun. But the biggest thing to me tonight, my love affair of Roman Anthony keeps on going. God, I love that man.
Nick Diamond, your reaction to tonight's victory?
My biggest reaction was how bad that team was. Just Austin, we got lucky to face, I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce the guy we faced yesterday, the national starter. I'm not going to butcher his name, but that guy sucked. Austin Gomber tonight might have sucked just as badly. Like, that guy was bad. We've been lucky to face some bad pitchers the last few games. We've teed off on them. The Red Sox didn't look overly great today. I don't think Dick Fitz looked that great. We've had some bad plays in the infield. You brought up Aromi Gonzalez has been bad at second base the last three games, too. I don't like him at second base. I like him at first. I like his bat. But that's it. Put him at first. I don't want him at second base ever again. But yeah, I mean, they're taking care of business against bad teams. That's good. But this Rockies team is historically bad. They have two good players. Hunter Goodman's pretty good. Tyler Freeman I'm about to call him the Indians, but a guardian last year. He was a decent player. I think he batted like 275 for them last year. So they have two decent hitters. But besides that, they're one of the worst teams I've ever seen. So we got a little bit lucky. We teed off some bad pitchers, some very bad pitchers. But yeah. I mean, it's nice to win games, but I'm not superly overimpressed with today's win.
Yeah, I can understand your thoughts on that. I mean, quite honestly, it was kind of a little bit of a nail biter there in the middle innings until, you know, they just started teeing off in the seventh and eighth. You know, talking about Richard Fitz, 5 2/3 innings, 5 hits, 2 earned runs, 6 strikeouts and 1 walk. But it didn't seem that good. He had 91 pitches, 62 for strikes, throwing the slider and the four seamer. You know, a win is a win. We'll always say that. But against a team like this, I think you should be expecting much better line than what he had. And especially being able to go into the sixth inning minimal, even in the seventh inning. So I think, you know, it was still a problem having to go to 4 relievers to close this one out. What do you see in Richard Fitz moving forward? Is he going to be a part of this rotation, or do you see him maybe if we make a move at the deadline for a pitcher that he might either be on the move or he might be regulated to a bullpen spot? Nick Diamond, your reaction to that question first.
I think Dick Fitz gets a little velocity happy. I think he loves that big velocity jump he had in spring training, and he tries to throw as hard as he can. Against the Rockies, he got away with it. And you brought up his line looked worse than it was. If you really think about it, I know Nick brought up the Nate Eaton play. That was not considered an error. So that was an earned run that it probably should not have been an earned run for him. So you could probably bring it down to one earned run, and you'd still say he didn't look that good. If I had to pick going forward, I don't think he's a starter. I think he's like a three-inning guy. He's probably the bulk reliever, that Cooper Criswell role. I think he'll be fine at that. And if you want to bring him as an opener for innings, I think that's fine as well. I just don't think he's got the secondary stuff. I like his fastball at 98. With 97 was today. But besides that, his secondary stuff's not that good. He got lucky against the Rockies. His first major league win, I'll give him that little credit for that one. Good for him. But I don't want him in this rotation going forward when I have Hunter Dobbins, who I think is better. I know he's hurt at the moment, but I think he's better. And I want to add a starter. I want to add a starter with control. And realistically, I would not be happy if Dick Fitz is still making starts in August, in September, you know? But I don't hate him. I think he's okay pitcher, but you asked if you want to move him. I don't know if any other team really thinks he's that good either. So I don't know if he gets moved. I think he's a fine depth guy. He's a six starter. He's a bulk reliever, but I don't want him starting games down the stretch here. If you want to get into the playoffs, you don't want Dick Fitz starting games.
Nick Faye, same question to you. What is your reaction or gut feeling for Richard Fitz? Is he a long-term piece in this rotation? Is he a piece that could be moved? And if he's going to stay here, do you want him to stay in this rotation?
Well, Lou Maloney probably thinks he's a weapon. The only reason I'm bringing this up first is because my man right here, I know this is a little off kilter here, but when you use the word weapon, this is me with my brother when Lou Maloney at John McDonald's wedding back in 2004. I've known Lou for a long time. Lou, when you start telling us that some of these players are weapons on our team, I'm going to lose my shit. I'm going to lose it. Okay. When he told us that David Hamilton is a weapon off the bench tonight, I wanted to hit him. He needed a smack. Right off the monster is what he did. So lo and behold here on Richard Fitz, now back on track for him. No, I am not a big Richard Fitz guy. I think he's a depth piece. That's it. I think that he's getting these starts because you have players that are hurt. He's anchoring and trying to hold down a spot in the rotation and doing a serviceable job. The thing that pissed me off tonight was he couldn't even go six innings. That right there, if you look at his stat line, that made me mad because then you had to go into the Whale of Gutless Bums bullpen and bring on your likes of your Chris Murphys. You even saw Jordan Hicks up. You had to bring Bernardino in. You had to bring Whitlock into this game. You can't do this every night. You can't. The Red Sox have got to get bare minimum six innings out of a guy when you're going up you are going up against the worst team in baseball. To not even go six, that's what really irritated me the most. So he got the win. Hurrah. Congratulations. He didn't deserve the win, I'll tell you that. But that's just how baseball goes. I do think that if the Red Sox have some sort of a package deal to put together with the team, I think Richard Fitz is an option. I do. What that can get you in a bigger package of sorts, I don't know. But I think there's bigger fish out there than a Dick Fitz.
Yeah, I want to bring in a comment from Eric Joseph tonight. He says that the errors didn't help Richard Fitz out much tonight. Do you agree with Eric, guys, or do you think that he's got to be able to pick up his fielders as well, Trevor Story in particular early in that game? Nick Diamond.
I agree, but also if you put Dick Fitz into this game against a good team, I think he gives him 6-7 runs. Like, he didn't look great tonight, so I think he did just enough to win, but if you put him against the Tigers, you put him against the Yankees, you put him against the Blue Jays, you put him against one of these great National League teams like the Phillies, but like you're not going to win many games with Dick Fitz on the mound. So I think he did well enough to beat a minor league team. If you look at the Rockies, they have two good players. It's Hunter Goodman, who was a very good catcher, and Tyler Freeman, who was on the Indians last year, I think. Guardians, sorry. But yeah.
Don't be sorry.
They have like two decent players and the rest of the players are awful. That team stinks, dude. Like I think that team is a AAA team at this point. And Dick Fitz did just enough, but against a good team, he gets rocked. He gets rocked. And I don't think the Red Sox put up 3 or 4 runs off a good pitcher tonight. They don't. It's Austin Gomber. That guy stinks. He stinks. He throws 88 down the middle.
Talking about weapons, Nick Face, you're bringing up weapons for this team. I like to talk about a real weapon. His name is Roman Anthony. And okay.
That's a good weapon.
He was 3 for 5 today, 2 runs scored, 2 RBIs. He's got his average now up to 250, which is starting to look reasonable for most major league hitters. And he has really been turning it on over the last 7 days, 8 hits and 20 at-bats, 4 runs scored, and the home run, as you see tonight. What are you seeing in Roman Anthony? Is it just the fact that he's just getting more acclimated to the major leagues? And is he going to be an impact player this season, or do we still have to wait till next year?
You're going to go Nick Diamond or me first?
Face first. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I did call my local florist up. There is a bundle of 12 red roses going to Roman Anthony for tomorrow for a thank you for what a hell of a performance for tonight. Okay. The biggest thing is definitely comfort and adjustments. Comfort and adjustments is what's happened with Anthony. He's figuring out what it is to be a major league player. The biggest thing tonight, yes, he hit the home run. That was great. That was awesome. But did you see him on the bases? Jaron Duran hits the ball. That's basically a single. And the guy has sneaky wheels.
Yes.
Scored all the way from first base. I know he was on the go. It was a hit and run. But scored all the way from third. It was a little bit of a risky call, I will say, with trying to wave him in. But to his credit, he got the job done. And that really stood out to me because that showed spark. That showed something that if we do happen to lose Duran, if he does get traded, my spark plug for this team is Roman Anthony. That's what I look at right now. I see a guy that is worth all the hype, that has such a high potential to be one of the next big stars here in Boston. I really do. I know it's early. I don't want to toot my own horn here with it, but I'm really excited about the future of Roman Anthony. I really am.
Nick Diamond, your reaction?
I agree. With whatever Nick just brought up, I really want.
If you want to go half in these roses, you're more than welcome to.
I wanted to bring up, he scored from first base on a single, basically, from Duran. That's, I know, awesome. Duran got the second base, but Andy was running at the time. But that was impressive for me. Just seeing Roman Anthony score from first on a like a ground ball at the middle, that's really nuts. I'm glad the power came out today. That ball only went, they said it went 418. I thought that ball went like 440. Who knows? It probably only went 418. That was crushed. It's lefty on lefty. That's impressive at 21 years old. I think Roman Anthony will be a big part of this team going forward this year, and I think he'll be a big part of this team going forward in the next few years too. Right. I think he's going to bat third for this team for the next like 5-6 years. I think he's that good.
Yeah, I think he is going to be a middle of the order impact bat. I mean, I think you're seeing him develop on a quicker pace than maybe most of us even anticipated. I know it's hard for a young guy to come up and then automatically be thrown into the position he's been in, where he's basically got to, you know, put the team on his back. But he doesn't seem to be flustered at all with any of this. I mean, obviously he had that one error in his first game, you know, and we saw all the, you know, the backlash of that, showing him how to actually field the ball and so forth. But if you look at him, he doesn't seem frazzled by the moment. He seems like he's been in the major leagues for a couple of years already. It's that kind of approach he has at the plate and in his game. Nick Diamond, you had another point.
As someone who's from South Florida for most of my life, I didn't play against Roman Anthony, but I have seen Roman Anthony play in high school. He's what, like 6 years younger than me at this point, so I didn't get to play against him, but I got to see him play, and I've always thought he was the best high school player ever seen play baseball. And I've seen some great ones. I saw JD Martinez play baseball in high school. I saw Nick Castellanos play baseball in high school. I saw a bunch of pitchers play baseball in high school. Colton Welker, Anthony Rizzo, I saw play baseball in high school. Roman Anthony was the most advanced by far, and it wasn't even close, at 18, 17 years old. I know that's not going to really translate to a major league spot, but I always thought he was that guy at 18, 17 years old. I thought it was going to translate to the majors. I thought it was going to be great. So it's nice to see that it's paying off now at 21, 22 years old as at right now. But I got clowned for that at one point, that I thought Roman Anthony's going to be a stud no matter where he goes. I thought he was that guy. So yeah, I really think he's going to be a stud going forward.
You know, that home
point two.
Sure, that home run that he hit was, I mean, that was crushed. I mean, that was crushed. I don't care what the actual total was on that in terms of the launch angle and the exit velocity and so forth, but You know, I saw that, and it reminded me of Hanley Ramirez hitting that home run, I think, against the Yankees in the dead center, the walk-off. And then also, too, some of the crushes that you've seen off Devers, too, and even Ortiz. I mean, that was absolute – that was a bomb. There's no other way to describe that hit other than it was a bomb. Nick Face, you had another comment. Go ahead.
The one thing that I think that we can all agree here on with Roman Anthony is it was a battle to get him up here. We all kept waiting and waiting and waiting. When is Roman coming? Well, here's the God's honest truth. Ever since Roman Anthony has come up and has kind of found himself in these past 2 weeks, boy, has this team started to hit. And boy, is this offense starting to lengthen itself out a whole lot better. We've started to see a little bit more consistency with the lineup, with Cora. We're trying to put these guys into certain places instead of guessing every night, oh, who's going to be here? And trying to be the big question mark here. I think because of the adjustments that have been made and because of the trust level that we have seen now with Anthony and developing, I think this is a big reason why the team has started to play much better. I know, granted, it's teams that aren't that great, but you know what? I'll take whatever it is right now, because what you're getting right now out of Roman Anthony is all the hype, everything that was called upon, everything that we've heard and seen from down in Worcester, and everything is translating here at the big league level. And now the Red Sox, the big league team, is paying the dividends. It's great to see.
Yeah, Eric Joseph had another comment. He says he looks very mature and polished for a rookie. And I absolutely agree 100% with that. I wanted to switch gears on something that you just said, Nick Face, is the fact about how everything is gelling and so forth. I do have one problem with that, though. And the problem is a man by the name of Nate Eaton. And of course, I think, you know, the elephant in the room was that ridiculous play. I don't even want to call it a play because it was just an abomination that you should be able to do in Little League or even Babe Ruth. The fact that, you know, he gets that ball, tries to tag the runner, stops, tries to throw to first, and then has to turn around and try to tag the runner. Whether he was out of the baseline or not is irrelevant at this point. You had two outs in that inning. You throw the ball to first. Now, luckily, that didn't become an issue with a game that would tie a game or, you know, put them, you know, in a situation where we could lose that game. And you look back at that and say, we lost by one run and it was all because of Nate Eaton having a brain fart, you know, during a play. This is my issue with guys like this. And I said this on Twitter quite a bit tonight. I says, when you keep putting platoon players into positions when they're not starters, they're going to get exposed. There's no question in my mind. You can't keep doing this. And as good as, you know, Romy Gonzalez has been hitting over 320 this season, I like Romy Gonzalez, but you expose these guys way too much because this is not, they're in uncharted waters. And with that being said, why can't Marcelo Mayer get at-bats against left-handed pitching? I mean, it's really becoming a thing here with Cora. If you are going to go ahead and have Roman Anthony have at-bats against left-handed pitching, why can't we have Marcelo Mayer have at-bats against left-handed pitching? Nick Diamond, your reactions.
The first thing I want to say is I didn't like Marcelo's at-bat today. I think he looked awful. But I 100% agree with you that Marcelo Mayer should be getting these at-bats over Nate Eaton. The first thing we need to say is Nate Eaton's not an infielder. He's not. He has one tool. It's speed. And that's it. He's not a good defender. I'll be honest with you. I think that was the worst play of terrible plays all season. This team has the most amount of errors in the league. They're tied with the Rockies coming into the game. I think the Rockies had one error. The Red Sox had one error. So they're going to end the game with the same amount of errors. But that Nate Eaton play was not considered an error. That was an error. Like, this team, you can't have Nate Eaton play at third base full time. I'm sorry. I liked how he's been hitting. Hit that ball off the monster today. Hit a couple other balls hard, foul. But still, Nate Eaton's not a major league third baseman. He's not a major league outfielder. And he's an outfielder. I think this guy gets sent down tomorrow or Wednesday when Masataka Yoshida gets called up. And that's it for him. I don't think we ever see him again. That play tonight was so bad. And I don't care what the umpire said. They called him out of the baseline at first, and then they recalled him out of the. They called him back into the baseline. I don't know. I don't know what the explanation was because they basically said that Nate Eaton didn't try to tag him, which made no sense to me. Because if he runs out of the baseline, he's at the baseline. Nate Eaton just got to throw that ball to second base or first base, like you said, first base. But he could have thrown it to second base. There's a runner at first base when that play got or that ball got hit to him. So he could have thrown it to any base. Just, it was one of the most boneheaded plays I've ever seen by this team. This team's made a lot of them. Just tag a base, throw it to a base. And at that time, you brought it up, it could have cost us the game. It was 5-3 when that runner scored. I thought it was going to cost us the game. I know Zidane and Rafaela hit that.
Love Red Sox Digest? And stop freeloading and subscribe already. Free subscribers get recaps, rants, and the occasional emotional breakdown. Just like Craig Breslow with the trade deadline. Upgrade to a paid subscription and unlock the full archive. Subscriber-only game breakdowns, behind-the-scenes audio rants, exclusive mailbag Q&As, plus live chat and post-game streams where we scream into the void together. And if you're a true sicko, become a founding member and we'll put you on the podcast. That's right, a guest appearance on Red Sox Digest. Hit subscribe. It's cheaper than Fenway beer and way more satisfying.
Well, same. Romy Gonzalez hit that bomb and we broke it open. But that easily could have cost us that win. And if the Red Sox lost to the Rockies tonight, we'd be screaming right now. All three of us. All three of us be screaming right now.
I was screaming in that inning. I'll tell you that. I was.
It was embarrassing. Just step on the base, tag the guy, throw it to second, throw it to third. Do anything besides what you did.
Yeah,
that's a play a 14-year-old makes.
Yeah, it's inexcusable. I mean, there's no way you could defend what he did. And as a result of that, he should just be taken off the major league roster, period. There is no coming back from that. And hopefully we see a move being made. Nick Face, your reaction to that as well.
Well, when you said abomination, I started to think of what exactly have I seen that's an abomination before? And all I could think of was the abominable snowman from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer when he's tossing snowballs out of his fort up in that animated Christmas Carol show, not knowing what the hell he's doing. And that's exactly what you saw from Nate Eaton. He is a guy that is up there and in the lineup because he's actually swung the bat half decent since he's been up here. I mean, who would have thought that Nate Eaton would be a leadoff hitter against left-handed pitching 3 weeks ago? None of us would have said it. You know, he did do something historic tonight. He hit the ladder in left field. That's his big accomplishment right now. He hit the ladder. My biggest thing here on the reasoning why he's still playing and why we're still in the land of the lost on where these players are playing all over the field, I'm a little down on Marcelo Meyer. I'm going to be real here. I don't know what they're going to do with that right now. I still think he can work himself out of his little funk that he's going through right now. But I think in a realistic world, if I get Alex Cora's brain on me, the reason why Marcelo Meyer is not over a third is because he hasn't been as consistent as you would say Roman Anthony is right now. And that's probably why Nate Eaton's in the lineup. The other reason why Nate Eaton's in the lineup is because of Lou Maloney's weapon, David Hamilton, who we haven't seen. He's in witness protection program, but still has a roster spot because he's a weapon. Ideally, he should have been also a part of some sort of, maybe he's at second base and Romy Gonzalez is at third or Toro's somewhere. But David Hamilton has done absolutely nothing on this season. So you're left with trying to slot a questionable outfielder in at third base who has no understanding on fundamental baseball on how to make a play to get out of an inning. That's what you saw tonight. You saw a mental breakdown of a guy that has no clue what he's doing playing third base. That's your 2025 Red Sox.
Yeah, I just don't understand why Cora decides to constantly give him at-bats. It's the same thing with him and with David Hamilton. Why do we have to keep giving at-bats to these guys instead of, you have a 21 or 22-year-old Marcelo Meyer, who is supposed to be your shortstop of the future, have an infield spot. He's not developing by putting him on the bench and having him come in for a pinch hitting role. And, you know, Nick Diamond, I understand what you're saying is that he had a bad at bat, but if he doesn't get enough at bats, I mean, why is he here? He should be playing in AAA every day then if you're not going to have him, three or four at bats per night. You just can't do that. The other thing that I wanted to touch on with the Nate Eaton thing, and obviously with Rob Refschneider, and a little bit of what we were talking about in our chat today, and Nick Face, you brought this up. Jarren Duran, for some reason, doesn't seem to be the leadoff hitter every night anymore. I'm a little bit confused as to why that's the case. I mean, I understand he's had a down year in comparison to last season, but he's still an offensive threat. He's been okay, but, you know, why are we having a revolving leadoff guy? Is this the post-Jarren Duran era startup? Or what do you think? And Nick, I'll let you kind of, Nick Face, I'll let you kind of like talk about what you wrote in the post today.
Yes, I do. I do think that this has to do with Jaren Duran is likely out of here. And it could be as early as Wednesday when Yoshida is activated. I don't think I love it, but we do have a logjam. The logjam is coming because of Yoshida being activated, and you have William Abreu, Zidane Raphaela, Roman Anthony, Rob Refsnyder. And if you got to throw somebody else on the outfield, you probably would. So someone's got to go. And the rumors that I was hearing earlier today is that a deal is pretty imminent right now, and it's a matter of fine-tuning exactly what's happening. Duran's name is definitely involved. I'm hearing it could be a battle between either the Twins or the Padres right now on where things land. But there could be other teams that are putting packages together on figuring out what deal is going to work the best. If you look at the Twins, one of the names that we have talked about before, I don't know if we've talked about it on our podcast or show before, but Joe Ryan over from the Twins is a name. He's a starter that's having a pretty decent season right now for the Twins. So the Twins are not having a very good season whatsoever. The question here is, why would the Minnesota Twins want Jaren Duran if they're trying to rebuild? That's what I'm trying to process here, outside of the Red Sox throwing in something else into this deal. Maybe that's a Richard Fitz. Maybe that's another prospect. The question here becomes, are you willing to throw in all these players, Duran, Fitz, other minor leaguers, say it's Password or whatnot, to get a Joe Ryan type from the Twins? For me, I don't know if I want to do that, but I don't think you really have a choice right now, because this is what it is right now. Come Wednesday, Yoshida's on this team, and you are going to try to have to find spots for him, whether you want it or not. Jim, and you and I talked about this yesterday. I don't want it. I don't think it helps this, but no other team in baseball wants Yoshida. Let's be real on this as well, too. So you're stuck. Thank you, Chaim Bloom.
Nick Diamond, your thoughts and reactions.
I was going to bring that up as well. I am one of the biggest Yoshida haters out there. I think he sucks.
That's me.
I was going to say that same thing. I think, Jim, I don't know what's been fast, but I know you've talked crap about Yoshida in the past. I don't think Yoshida helps this team. At this point, I don't want any of these outfielders getting their at-bats taken away. I'd rather Jaren Duran get every at-bat than Yoshida. What is Yoshida going to do? Hit a ground ball to second base? Maybe find a hole every eight at-bats? He's not good. I'd rather have Jaren Duran. I'd rather have William Abreu. And I'd much rather have Zidane Raphaela right now, 100%.
Raphaela's on another planet.
Raphaela out of the lineup for Yoshida, there's big problems. Yoshida's the worst player out of those four I just named, three, four that I just named, and it's not even close. Yoshida has one tool. It's an okay hit tool. He's an okay contact tool. And that's it. And he hits the ball on the ground too much. He's not that good of a player.
Reminds me of Steve Urkel from Family Matters.
I'm 100% fine in setting Nate Eaton down for Masataka Yoshida, but I'm not giving less at-bats to Jaren Duran for Masataka Yoshida. I'm not.
Yeah, I totally agree. My biggest thing with Yoshida is, what does he do to improve? I put this on Twitter earlier, and I said, why are the Boston Red Sox bringing him up or giving him at-bats? And of course, you get some of the people, you know, they're gonna probably try to trade him, so they want to showcase him. You don't need to showcase Masataka Yoshida. He's on a $90 million contract, whatever's left. You get the idea. They don't need to showcase that guy. He is not going to move the needle, and he's not going to do anything for this team in some sort of positive light. They can score runs. You look at Yoshida wasn't on the team tonight. He wasn't on the team the last 3 days. So as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing that he's going to bring to this team to do anything that's going to move the needle. And if anybody thinks that they're going to be able to trade him, I think you're sadly mistaken. Unless the Red Sox are willing to eat, 90% of what's left on that contract, and I don't understand why they would. If you wouldn't go and trade for whether it was Marcell Ozuna or Ronald Acuna Jr. and, the catcher that they have.
Sean Murphy.
If you weren't willing to do that because Atlanta wanted you to take on money on the Devers contract and John Henry said no, there's no way in Sam Hell that they're going to just eat money on that Yoshida deal. I can't see it happening. I cannot see that happening. This guy is a waste of space. He cannot play the outfield. This bull crap of him showing off at first base. You can't be serious that a guy that's 5'1" is going to play first base for the Boston Red Sox. This is absolutely insane. When I saw, I still have nightmares of seeing that. I don't understand it. And then you're going to put him, what, in the DH spot? You just told us that you wanted to get rid of Devers because you want to be having a rotating DH spot. And now you're going to bring this guy up who's also left-handed. You got too many damn left-handers on this team. And you're going to tell me he's going to be the savior now? Oh, we need to get his bat in the lineup? People on Twitter, oh, we need to get his bat in the lineup? Get for what? So we can get more double plays and grounds outs to second base? I mean, come on. The guy is terrible. He's the worst, one of the worst signings that Heim Bloom and this team has done since Carl Crawford. I can't imagine that he's coming back. I honestly, I'd rather have Nate Eaton than him.
Jim, he's going to bat fourth on Wednesday. Prepare yourself. Prepare. It's coming. Just
razor blades in my eyes if that happens.
Masataka Yoshida is one of my most hated players. I hate the guy. I hate him. And it's not because of him. I just think he sucks. He hits ground
balls. All other 29 teams in baseball did the same thing.
Exactly. The Red Sox paid him $90 million, and that close was $40 million.
Yep.
Like, what are we doing here?
Breaking news
to both. The next Ichiro.
Breaking news to both of you. The Boston Red Sox have told you that Masayoshida sucks. Last year.
Alex Cora hates him. I'm assuming that. I just think he hates him.
Here's the reason why. Last season, the Red Sox told you that Masataka Yoshida could not play the outfield. So they made him a DH. They didn't want him out there. Not one game. Not one inning. Not one play.
He had nothing. He had one inning. I remember it.
He had one inning? Okay.
So he got hurt, and he made a bad play. And I remember. Fenway Park. He played left field, and he made a bad play.
Okay. But here's the point. Here's the bigger picture. They told you last year they didn't want him out there. So now you're going to showcase him? Come on. This season, it's a home run in spring training. 5 minutes later, he didn't even get in the dugout. And they said, oh, he's going on the IL. Okay. And he's been on the IL. I don't know if he's in the Grand Canyon or at Disney World, but he's been on vacation with John Henry's $90 million all season long. Now you hear rumors over the last few months that, oh, well, he could hit, but he just can't throw or play a fielding position. If that was the case, that he could hit, why wasn't he activated when Devers was traded? And he could have been your DH at that point. It's because the Red Sox, in my opinion, don't or didn't want him on that major league roster. Otherwise, if you needed his bat so badly, you would have brought him up to be your DH the day after Devers was traded. On that road trip. That's not what happened. So now all of a sudden, before the trade deadline, we're going to put him out there so that he gets at bats to take away from somebody else, whether it's Romy Gonzalez, whether it's Roman Anthony. And to your points, I don't want any of those guys losing at bats to this turd. Because if that's the case, then the Red Sox do not prioritize winning on this season. And you're going to go ahead and tell me that they're going to go and trade Jaron Duran to the Twins for Joe Ryan? Why on earth would the Twins want a 28, 29-year-old Jaron Duran who would not fit into their future plans? Your reactions.
And Craig Breslow right now, I almost said Heim Bloom, sorry about that. And Craig Breslow is, what are you doing? Put him out there. Expose him to waivers. If you don't want him, take him off the 40 man. And they never did it. It's shocking to me because this, when Devers and everything said, I'm the DH, and they said Yoshida's not going to be ready. He can't throw. He's got to be looked at in the outfield. I already was saying to myself, this makes absolutely no sense. And all I can think of was the Rusney Castillo comparison. Just to get them out, get them the hell out of here. And they haven't done that. What the hell is wrong with them?
Nick Diamond.
I totally agree with you. I thought they would do the same thing. I thought they would DFA him and no one would take that contract and he would clear waivers and have to go down there. But he could still hit singles. It's a little singles at the middle. He's an okay hitter, but he's not great. He's not, I don't want him taking a bath from anybody, so I'm totally fine with DFAing him. Nobody's going to take that contract on unless you take the whole thing. I don't even think you can take half of it. I think you have to take the entire contract. And then you have to go to a team like the White Sox, the Rockies, the Marlins. You have to take a team that sucks. You have to pay it all. Exactly. You have to take it. You have to pay it all. And you have to go to a team that sucks to trade him. And even if I was the Marlins, I don't think I'd take him because he's 5'5". He hits ground balls and he does nothing else good. He has no other tools that can help a team. Like Jim said, he can't play defense. He can't play any. He can't not going to play first base. If he plays first base, I don't think I'll watch this game. I'm not watching a game with Masataka Yoshida at first base. Oh my God, I'm not watching that game. Balls can go over his head every single time.
Here's the other part of this, too. He is going to be 32 next week. So what team is going to want a guy that cannot play the field, who is regulated to DH duties but has no power, and is a 32-year-old guy that grounds out to second? He has one of the worst contracts this team has signed since Carl Crawford. At least Carl Crawford had wheels. This guy has absolutely nothing to offer. And to your point, Nick, I know you said that, you know, he can hit a little bit, but what team? I don't care if it's the Marlins, the Mets, a contender or a pretender. What team is looking at Masataka Yoshida and saying, yeah, I got to have him? There's not one team in Major League Baseball that would have an interest in him for any particular reason. Zero. I don't care if they got him for free and they had to give away a middling single A prospect, because that's all you would wind up getting, if anything at all, just for a transaction's sake, not for actually anything in particular, but it would be a transaction only. But what team is going to want him on their 26-man roster? I can't see it. So Charlie Midnight writes in. He says they don't want a repeat of Rusney Castillo. Well, you know what?
It's already happening.
It's already happened, and unfortunately, we're stuck with him. I can't believe that they'll actually get anybody in a trade for him that is of any kind of value.
Who do you think gets DFA'd? I think it's Nate Eaton.
It's got to be Nate Eaton.
I want it to be David Hamilton.
He has an option.
I want it to be.
Send him down.
Just, I think David Hamilton has pitches of Cora and some other player and his wife or something, because that's the only reason he's still on the team. Let's be real.
He survives because he can play second base.
But he's a weapon. He's got wheels.
He's not a weapon. But I think he survives.
Thank you.
He can play second.
David Hamilton has one job.
Skill base.
And that's to be your Dave Roberts. When and if that opportunity came. He is a postseason extra guy that, of course, if you needed in a pinch to play the infield, he could. Not great, but he could. But he is there on a postseason roster when you're down one or two and you get a walk or a single and need to pinch run him to steal a bag. That's why you keep a David Hamilton. Otherwise, he has no point to be on this roster or any roster. Eric Joseph writes, absolutely, I'm not sold on Yoshida. I think he's highly limited as a player. He's totally limited. I mean, at best, you're going to get, you know, a 280 batting average, which, again, isn't terrible, but he serves you nothing. He's not going to get you anything in a trade, and he's not a fit for this team. Charlie Midnight writes, Pablo Sandoval is another one. It's a terrible contract, too. Probably one of the worst.
That's worse than Yoshida. I'll agree with
that. I think it is.
Pablo Sandoval is the worst contract the Red Sox ever handed out to a player.
Well, John Henry said he had 8% body fat, I think it was. So, and that was just in his knuckles.
Yeah, Pablo Sandoval had like a
baby toe. Body fat. That baby toe, it's holding its own.
Like Eric said, Yoshida has one tool. And even that, I don't think it's great. So he's very limited.
Exactly. Well, guys, I think that's going to wrap it up for tonight. The one thing I did want to mention, tomorrow's game is going to obviously be the Red Sox against the Colorado Rockies in game two. And it's going to be Brian Baio against Kyle Freeland. Kyle Freeland is 1-9 on the season with a 549
ERA. Left-handed. So I think we'll see Nate Eaton batting leadoff again.
We're probably going to see that. And probably will not see Yoshida in that lineup unless they want to get
it's Wednesday, they said. They said Wednesday.
Oh, did they say Wednesday? Because, yeah, I mean, they'd have to get him at-bats against left-handers, right?
Yeah, Cora said left. He'll be back Wednesday. So he'll come back as soon as the righty comes back.
Well, I'd like to thank my guests tonight, Nick Face and Nick Diamond, for being on with me. Again, if you have an opportunity and you have not subscribed yet, go to our website at RedSoxDigest.com. That's RedSoxDigest.com. Subscriptions are free. If you want to go ahead and donate to our cause, we'll take your money as well, and we won't give it back. But definitely go ahead and sign up as quickly and possible as you can. I write articles just about every day. We also have a couple other new features coming out. We are going to be getting a Fenway flashback, which is going to highlight and showcase specific games back from the 70s, 80s, 90s, and today. So I think it'll be a really good column. Third Doyle is going to be heading that. I think a lot of people will enjoy that for some nostalgia reasons. Have a good night, everybody, and we will see you on Wednesday. Have a good night.
See y'all.